The reading is taken from Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Good morning. So my name's Matt. If you don't know me, I'm the curate. And I wonder if I could start you off with a little question. I wonder if you know what happens every year on the 20th of May. So 20th of May, same thing happens every year. Any thoughts? It's not my birthday. No, that's the 30th of September, if any of you are wondering. Anyone else want to have a stab? It's Pentecost. A day when we remember that after Jesus went up to heaven, he said to the disciples, "Stay and wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you, and then you will have power and authority, and you'll go out into the rest of the world, and you'll be able to share the good news about me." And it's that time, perhaps, when we remember that Jesus said he was the light of the world, but he also said to us that we go and we carry his light with us, that we are to let our light shine forth in the darkness. Can we have two more slides on, please? Awesome. Now, this one, you might see at the top left-hand corner, there's a logo that you might be familiar with. You might not be. And it says, "Thy Kingdom Come." And it's part of a Church of England initiative where 11 days of the year, right next to Pentecost, we focus on prayer and evangelism. As a whole church, we think about that message that Jesus gave us and that desire that we've got to reach out. And I don't know if you know, but it started in 2016. And each year, there have been different cathedrals which have given over that evening to churches a bit like ours to run events where we all come together and celebrate. And this year, on the 20th, is going to be Salisbury Cathedral. So Paul and various other leaders across Salisbury went and talked to the people in charge of the cathedral and said, "Look, can we have the cathedral for that night to celebrate, to come together as lots of different churches?" So Vineyards and Grace Churches and Methodists and all sorts of different churches. So the 20th of May, it would be great if you could be there too, and we could celebrate together, lots of us together for the sake of Jesus. And part of Thy Kingdom Come, part of the idea is evangelism, and that's why we're thinking about it at the moment. And so they gave us this sort of little diagram. One day I'll have a clicker. There we go. And so we've been going round it. So at the top we've got contact. And last week we thought about, who do we have contact with? Who do we know that wants to know about faith? And we thought about asking people questions to simulate that sort of conversations about faith and Jesus. And we thought about nurture. We thought about sowing seeds, little bits, little information about Jesus, about grace, about what's it all about. And we thought about getting rid of those rocks, perhaps, those misunderstandings that people have, and helping them to get the gospel a bit more. And today we are thinking about commitment. We're thinking about that sort of challenge when eventually God says to us, "Well, what about you? You know a lot, you've heard a lot. Are you going to make a decision for me?" And when I was thinking a little bit about that idea of challenge and about making a decision, this next image came to mind. It was a water slide I went on some years ago. That's not me, by the way. And you got shot into the water slide. You kind of went down the top, got some speed up, and you'd start to kind of circulate round the bowl, and you'd go down and kind of round and round. But gradually, you'd know what was going to happen. because eventually you'd lose momentum and you'd kind of plop down the hole in the middle. But for ages, you kind of fight it and try to stay up the bank as far as you can until eventually, plop, you find your way kind of going down the middle. And for many of us, our journeys to faith were a little bit like that. We kind of went round and round and round thinking about, is it true, is it not true, experiences of God. And eventually, we kind of have to plumb and make a decision. And like me going down there, I couldn't actually see what was down before I kind of dropped. And for a lot of us, making that decision for faith can be a little bit intimidating. We're not quite sure what it's going to mean. I am hugely passionate about seeing people come to faith. And when I was training to be a vicar, the first week I was talking to someone and they had endless stories of people who come to faith. And I thought, that's interesting because I wish I had as many stories as you've got of how people came to faith. So we sat down next to each other and I said, look, I need to pick your brain. Let's compare what we're both doing and let's see if there's a reason behind this. And so we compared, you know, we have similar sorts of friends that we've made. We have similar sorts of understanding of the Bible. We have similar sorts of ways of raising questions. And we got all the way to the bottom of the list. And my friend Dan, I said to him, Dan, what is it that you do that I don't do? And he said, you just journey with people round and round the bowl, but you never say to them, what about Jesus and you? What are you going to do about this? He said, you never challenge them. You just let them go round and round and round. And he said, I sometimes just step out and I go, so are you ready to become a Christian? And he said, sometimes they say no, but sometimes they say yes. And unless you do that challenge bit, how will anyone ever make a decision? And I thought, what a great point. So I've done a bit more thinking about it. And looking at Zacchaeus, it's a wonderful story also about challenge. I imagine Zacchaeus knew that everyone else hated him. I imagine he knew that. He'd probably heard some people say that around him or near him. He knew they didn't like him. And so Jesus, he's been following Jesus, what's this guy about? And Jesus comes up to him and says, can I come to your house? If I was Zacchaeus, I'd be thinking, no, you can't come to my house. I haven't invited you. And if you come to my house, all these people who don't like me will want to come too. And I really don't want them at my house. But Zacchaeus says yes. And so the first sort of challenge in the story. And perhaps as we read the story, you thought to yourself, actually, we don't know much about this. We get told the invite, and we got told the end of the story, and we know diddly squat about the middle bit. Like, we don't know anything about the conversation they had. We don't know what Jesus said. We don't know who else came to the house. There's loads of stuff we don't know. But what we do know is that they had this conversation in the house, probably other people there, and then Zacchaeus knows there's a challenge. He knows there's a choice to be made. And again, if I was Zacchaeus and I'd been kind of convicted by Jesus and thought, yes, I need to decide that you're Lord, I need to change my life, I'd have said, Jesus, can we just go to this little quiet room over here, please, where I make a commitment and then we'll come back out again. That's what I would have done. I'd have thought, I don't want anyone else to kind of be there. We're going to go off by ourselves here and then I'll decide kind of what I think and commit to it. But Zacchaeus doesn't do that. He stands up in front of everybody else. And he says, well, we can see in front of us, it says four times anything I might have taken. And we don't know that he did take anything, but he might have done. So he says four times that I'll give back. And you can imagine the crowd talking amongst themselves. Oh, I think maybe Zacchaeus took from me. I can imagine there was 100 quid a while ago that he took from me. I'm owed 400 now. And so you can see kind of Zacchaeus is burning his bridges. He's committing to Jesus 100%. He knows it might cost him. It will cost him. What I'd missed in the story the first time round is that he gives four times to the people he cheated after he's already given half of his income away to the poor. That's a huge amount of his wealth he's sacrificing. And what's interesting is that in Luke, it comes the chapter after the rich young man, where Jesus had been dealing with a rich young man and said, if you're going to follow me, give away your wealth and then follow me. And we know in the story that the rich young man doesn't, that he just goes away. But in contrast, Zacchaeus does. He stands up and says, yes. Yes, I'm willing to do this. Yes, I'm going to commit to you. One of my favorite verses out of the Bible comes in the book of Zephaniah. It's quite a small book in the Old Testament. And in Zephaniah, it talks about God, and it says, God, he will rejoice over you with loud singing. It's one of my favorite bits. I love that God would be proud to stand up and loudly sing. In our last church, we had some wonderful, tuneful people, and then we had one guy who had the most terrible voice you've ever heard. It sounded like death was happening in the pew next to you. It was just awful. And he knew it himself, and he found it quite funny. But he would often say, I'm singing to Jesus, and he's probably got this magical cloud that filters through my terrible singing, but I love him, and I don't care that I sound terrible. And I love that maybe God sings over each one of us in a loud voice, and he doesn't care who hears. A bit like Zacchaeus, who stands in front of everybody else, and he doesn't care who knows that he wants to follow Jesus. So there's two challenges, really, for us that we're left with today. There's a challenge for us, ourselves. Are we committed? Are we willing to stand up, no matter who's in the room, and say, yes, I'm in this. I'm 100% committed to you, Jesus. And I know that many of us here are 100% committed. We are all in it for Jesus. But the second challenge is really a challenge for us as we go out and talk to other people. Are we giving people that challenge? We're going around the bowl with them, and we're helping them to think a bit more about faith, but are we also every now and then saying, what about a commitment? What about praying with me? What about Jesus? What about becoming a Christian? So two sort of challenges that come to us this morning out of this idea of Zacchaeus. So let's pray. Father God, thank you that for each and every one of us, that you long to rejoice over us with singing. And when we come to you, you do. That you are so pleased to know us, and you are so faithful in journeying with us. Thank you that Zacchaeus' commitment in front of everybody else was the start of his journey, a journey we know that you would have been faithful to him in. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. And God, if we haven't trusted you, if we haven't decided yes for you, I pray that this morning that you would stir us to commit. We don't know what it will be like when we become a Christian often. But help us to know it will be good and that we can trust you because you are our Father. In Jesus' name, amen.